Love them or hate them, the baby boomers, all 78 million of them, have had something of a headlock on American culture since Carole King first felt that earth move under her feet. And the baby boomers haven't released their grip since. On Sunday, the oldest of this massive generation will begin to turn 60, at a rate of almost 8,000 a day. And with the boomers' commitment to living forever, it's possible Mick Jagger will be playing the Super Bowl halftime show in 2020. Today, we're celebrating the legacy of the boomers, who grew up to dominate, not only in numbers, but also with their idealism and sheer cheek. There's almost no institution left untouched by the boomers. They're stomping through the halls of Congress, as well as up the Billboard charts. They've been social idealists, marching against the Vietnam War and rallying against segregation. But as they've aged, they've also been accused of self-importance and arrogance, as they turn to fitness gurus and life coaches to cushion their inevitable march toward the golden years. So, as a kind of birthday gift for the first round of boomers turning 60 this weekend, let's talk about them and everything they've left their fingerprints on. Television, advertising, religion, architecture, music, politics. Later in the hour, we'll hear about the dearth of celebrities in the USO. But first, boomers, we want to hear from you. Are you turning 60 in the next week? Are you a proud boomer or a self-loathing one? Even if you're a bitter Gen Xer, give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. First to weigh in is Joe Queenan, the author of Balsamic Dreams, a short but self-important history of the baby boomer generation. He joins us from our New York bureau. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
So let's lay the ground rules to this discussion. What is boomer culture?
I think it's basically post-Elvis Presley. It's boomer culture starts in the early 60s with Dylan and the British invasion, the Beatles, all of that, and then kind of comes to an end around early 70s with California rock, with Carole King, with James Taylor. And then a period of nostalgia sets in, which has never left. So I think that baby boomers started being, I think Carole King's Tapestry was released in 1971, and it is a nostalgic look back. And people buying the records were only 19 years old, so they'd already sort of thrown in the towel. And I think that we're still in that situation where the baby boomers, more than any other generation, were nostalgic for the 60s, or they were nostalgic for their youth while they were still young, which means that they've been old for a really long time.
Joe, I have a little bit of a something I have to let the listeners know here, and that is, I am not of the baby boomer generation. So if you notice a little note of snark in my voice, that's why it is. So I wonder, Joe, do you think that the phrase boomer culture is actually something of an oxymoron?
No more than Gen X culture.
Ooh, touche.
Because baby boomer culture, at least there's a lot of it, because there's so many of us. And, you know, one of the interesting things about baby boomer culture is if you go to people who run events at places like the Meadowlands or Madison Square Garden or any large arena, and you say, who can you book in here and sell out for 5 nights? You would be amazed at how old those people are. It's the Stones. It's U2. It's Paul McCartney. It's Billy Joel. It's Elton John. There's Michael Jackson, who's technically a baby boomer. There's a few people, you know, there's some rap groups that you might be able to get in there. But they have because they sort of invented stadium rock, and that's basically what baby boomer culture is, stadium rock. Because they invented it, they also kind of dominate it and will continue to dominate it until all those guys die.
So you're basically defining this by an age group and a set of years, but are there any defining characteristics of boomer culture?
I guess it's oriented towards youth, but it's almost completely nostalgic at this point. I mean, it's very much like Baby boomers assumed that they weren't going to be like their parents, and they're exactly like their parents, except that they have a lot more money and they wear sweatpants. My parents never stopped talking about Sinatra and Vic Damone and Tony Bennett and Benny Goodman and the big bands, and they were convinced that that was the highest moment in American culture, and we just thought they were boring. And baby boomers are exactly like that. Baby boomers just write off any music that was written after about April, after, I think, like the Allman Brothers live at the Fillmore East. That's the highest moment of baby boomer culture, and everything that comes after that sucks.
So, Joe, are you a boomer?
Yeah, I was born in 1950. I was 18 in the summer of love. I was 13 when JFK was assassinated, so I'm like right totally in the middle of boomer culture. And it doesn't do any good to protest about your generation, because when the revolution comes, all boomers will be beheaded, as well they should be. So it doesn't do any good to tell young people, but I didn't buy Rod Stewart's Great American Songbook, Volume 4. They don't care. You're all equally guilty because you're all responsible for foisting Rod Stewart on us in the first place.
Well, that's good. Go ahead.
So I think that there's just a certain sense of you're inside. I mean, there are certain things about baby boomer culture that I think are great. One is baby boomers were totally against lynching, which the greatest generation wasn't. Greatest generation, a lot of those people, especially the ones south of the Mason-Dixon line, they thought lynching people was a great idea. So baby boomers were against that. Baby boomers were more in favor of equality in the workplace. And baby boomers, their single greatest contribution to culture, not just in the United States, but in the world, is cuisine. Baby boomers brought the world really good cuisine. And for that, we can be eternally grateful.
Joe, I'm not sure I would make quite the generalizations about those people south of the Mason-Dixon line that you did, but let's go to the phones and talk to Charles in Lynchburg. Hi, you're on Talk
Hello.
Of the Nation. How are you?
I'm well for someone who's about to turn 59.
Well, good, Mr. Boomer. Tell us what you think of your culture.
Well, I think all cultures certainly have downsides, but I think that the turmoil that we went through and the things that we saw and lived through helped to make many of us stronger and allowed us to do what I think are some pretty good work in our world today.
So you're pro-boomer culture, huh?
Well, I certainly think that the people who lived through that generation had their own unique challenges, and that as a result of that, I think many of us have dedicated ourselves to service and trying to make the culture better.
But Charles, do you think that's any different for your generation than any other?
No, I don't think that it is. I think that many people, and I'm seeing this now in younger people that I'm working with, do have that dedication. We all have our uniqueness, and certainly I think that the turmoil in my case that went along with my youth led me into a career in law enforcement, with an idea being to ensure justice for everyone and peace and order in our society.
And Charles, what CD do you pop into your patrol car?
What DVD do
what songs?
What music is in there?
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you what, I just got the Kingston Trio, The Complete Story.
That says it all.
Joke. We- Thanks for the call, Charles.
Thank you.
Let's go to Russ in Madison. Hi, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm a boomer right in the middle there. I'm about to turn 50 next week, so it's kind of an interesting perspective that one gets. I guess my comment is, I think boomers are pretty much culturally rich. I don't think really that's the issue. But what I do find that our generation is kind of lacking here is a more richness in our social consciousness. I really thought growing up in the 60s and the 70s that, you know, boomers saw a huge change in social consciousness issues. And today, boomers seem to have very little impact on the social warp of society today. And that frustrates me as a member of that generation.
Well, let me ask you this, Russ. As a member of the next generation after that, I see boomers' fingerprints all over everything.
Yeah, but not to, I agree, certainly, but not to the extent that, for example, a lot of issues like civil rights and whatnot came to fruition during that period of time. Another one is consumerism, and what we find is that boomers are just immense consumers. Just, you know, we're the engine that drives the economy because boomers spend money like nobody's business. But does that, you know, what contribution is that to the betterment of society as a whole? That's my question.
Joe Queenan?
You know, I find it astounding anyone could say that baby boomers are culturally rich. They're pop culturally rich. I mean, there is no writer alive today who's in a class with William Faulkner. There's no musician today who's in a class with John Coltrane or Miles Davis. Baby boomers don't listen to classical music. They read bad books. They go to see bad art. They have they're an anomaly in that they're an extremely well-educated but an extremely uncivilized and unsophisticated generation. So I don't think that that's true. I think that quite the opposite is true, that all of their energies have gone into things like the environment or you know, reducing pollution and things like that, which are great. But culturally, they've definitely had a negative effect. I mean, the dumbing down of American society, the way American television is now, American movies, it's because of baby boomers. It's not because of the generation before them or the generation after them.
Okay. I think Joe Queenan has just thrown down the gauntlet. If some of you baby boomers want to call in and defend yourselves and your culture, give us a call at 1-800-989-TALK. Send us an email at totn@npr.org. And quickly, Joe, in the last couple of seconds before we have to take a quick break, how do you think boomers compare to Gen X on that slate?
I think as a generation, baby boomers batted about 279 and Gen X bats about 240.
It means that if you use
a baseball analogy, 300 is excellent. Baby boomers are slightly below excellent, and Gen X is considerably below excellent, if only because of the cure.
We're wishing a happy birthday to the boomers this hour. Let us know if you think their cultural legacy is greater than Mr. Queenan has laid out. We're taking your calls at 800-989-TALK. You can send us an email at the address is totn@npr.org. I'm Andrea Seabrook. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, well, you might find you get what you need.
Did they get what they wanted or needed? We're talking about the culture of the baby boomers this hour, or lack thereof. Are you a boomer who's about to turn 60? Let us in on your favorite or least favorite cultural signpost. Join our discussion at 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. My guest is Joe Queenan, writer, social critic, and semi-reluctant boomer. Joe, so do you think it's pervasive merely because of sheer numbers, or is baby boomer culture truly lasting?
No popular culture is lasting. I mean, the only things that we remember from cultures are their best things, and those are rarely popular culture. And since baby boomer culture has been so pervasive in the pop cultural sphere, that's not going to be remembered 70 or 80 years from now. The baby boomers are another generation that's, you know, there's a few periods in American history where there are clearly generations that stands head and shoulders above everyone else. The founding fathers, who were not members of one generation. Benjamin Franklin was 60. Washington was in his 40s. Alexander Hamilton was 19. Those guys were great. Baby boomers aren't in a class with those people. Baby boomers aren't in a class with our parents, who fought through the Depression, defeated Adolf Hitler, won the Second World War, and they're not in a class with the Civil War generation. They're another generation. They're a link between different generations. There's nothing particularly special about them, and they need to get over it.
Joe Queenan, with all due respect, let's move on to another viewpoint from that. Let's join Stephen Gillen. He's resident historian on the History Channel and author of Boomer Nation, the Largest and Richest Generation Ever and How It Changed America. Stephen Gillen, you're on the line.
Yes. Hi, how are you today?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thanks. I'm sitting here listening to Joe and having a great laugh.
Well, good. I'm glad you're laughing and not shaking your fist here. Do you agree with Joe?
I do. I mean, it's my perspective, I guess, is just I look at the generation from a different angle. And I think that the people who look at the boomer generation tend to fall into different camps. And I think one of the callers sort of reflected, there's certain nostalgia. There's people, many of them boomers themselves, who are nostalgic about the 60s and about, you know, you would think that there were 76 million people at Woodstock and they actually at one point succeeded in levitating the Pentagon. Then I think there are others like Joe and other social critics who are very critical of the impact the boomers have had. And I, as an historian, I sort of try to reconcile both. I think that the culture wars that we are having today and a lot of the cultural divisions in America today is really a debate over the legacy of the boomer generation. When I think about the boomer generation, what is it that the boomers did? I agree completely with Joe in terms of his ranking, where the boomers rank with other generations in history. But the one contribution that the boomers have made to American politics and to American culture is that they've expanded the range of individual choices that people have available to them. They sort of picked up on the momentum of the civil rights movement and expanded the range of personal choices. And you see that especially in sort of the two boomer movements, which are, I think, in the 1970s, the women's movement, the gay rights movement. And I think a lot of the debate today is over that legacy of choice. There are those people who embrace the expansion of individual choices and feel the need to continue that trend. There are others, I think many of them boomers themselves, who, as they have grown older, have questioned that legacy and questioned the range of choices and feel that there's a need for more authority, for reimposing sort of restraints. So I think that the debate today between Democrats and Republicans and liberals and conservatives is really a debate over the legacy of the boomer generation. So in that sense, yes, the boomers have had a profound impact on American politics and culture today, but I think that that impact is, as the generation itself was and continues to be, deeply divided.
Stephen Gillen, you mentioned the women's movement, the gay rights movement as the two movements of the boomers. What about the civil rights movement? In fact, what about African American culture in general? Do we consider that part of the baby boomer generation?
I think the roots of the modern civil rights movement really go back to World War II. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you look at events like the Montgomery bus boycott, the sit-ins of the early 1960s, the Freedom Riders, the people who were really on the leading edge of the civil rights movement were not boomers. They were the older siblings of boomers, in some cases boomer parents. By the time, you know, the first boomers are turning 20 in 1965, and by 1965, the two most significant pieces of legislation that grew out of the Civil Rights Movement have already been passed. The Civil Rights Act of 1964, which did away with segregation, the Voting Rights Act of 1965. So I think boomers, the debates over race and affirmative action that dominate public debate in the 1970s is more a legacy of how the boomers tried to expand the Civil Rights Movement. But I think the movement itself predates the boomers.
We're also talking about a huge span of time. I mean, 1946 to 1964 are the years that are supposed to be the cutoff of the beginning and end of the boomer generation. Is there really a line that demarks boomers in the beginning or the end? Or is this really two generations squashed together?
Well, the way we define the boomers is really very arbitrary. It's this 17, 18-year span, and it's based solely on the accident of demography, that sort of the increase in birth rates that begin at the end of World War II and continue until 1964 and drop off. In my sort of study of the boomers, I break them into two groups. I argue that there are boomers, and boomers are those who are born between 1945 and 1958. And then shadow boomers, and shadow boomers are those who are born between 59 and 1964. I think if you look at, you know, someone who's born in 1946 has a completely different generational experience than someone who's born in 1964. The older generation of boomers, you grow up on the Mickey Mouse Club and Sideburns and the idealism of John F. Kennedy. The later generation, those born after 1960, grow up on stagflation, on Richard Nixon. I mean, I think the greatest challenge for older boomers is to reconcile idealism with social reality. And I think for those who are born after 1960, there's less idealism for them to compromise. I also think that in order to be a certified baby boomer, you have to have some recollection of the Kennedy assassination. I think that is really the defining moment for the generation. And while people interpreted it differently, I think it is the first event of national importance which a generation witnesses and experiences simultaneously and on television. And I think that has a profound impact on the generation. So for that reason, I do divide the generation. And the shadow boomers sort of embrace a lot of the qualities, both good and bad, of the boomers. But it's the older generation. It's a generation born between 1945 and 1958 that are really at the forefront of defining what boomer culture
is. Okay. Stephen Gillen and Joe Queenan, hang on the line. We're going to get to some of our listeners. Let's start with Jeff in Portland, Oregon. Hi, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was born in 1964, which would make me a shadow boomer, evidently. And I feel kind of stuck between the two generations. I'm more Gen X, living alone, working a retail job, but I want to be more baby boomer. There seem to be more going on with that generation than with the Gen X generation.
So you feel like a Gen Xer.
Exactly.
But you want to be a boomer.
Exactly. And so I'm proud to say that I was born in 1964, so I'm still a baby boomer.
Well, hang on to that then.
All right.
Thanks for your call, Jeff.
Okay, thanks.
Joe Queenan, and it sounds like he agrees with you.
I think that it's... I think that the Kennedy assassination is an interesting thing in that not only do you have to have been alive when Kennedy was assassinated, but you had to really be aware of it. You had to be at least 9, 10, something like that. But what's interesting about the way the baby boomers talk about the JFK assassination is they always act like it happened to them. It happened to him. He's the one who got shot. His family's the one who got hurt by it. And baby boomers have a way of always sort of saying, look what happened to me. It happened to JFK. It happened to his wife. It happened to his kids. As far as the thing about which generation you want to belong to, I remember I had a cousin who's about 8 years older than me, and he grew up during that Johnny Mathis generation of the late 50s, Johnny Mathis and Splish Splash taking a bath with Bobby Darin. And yeah, it's bad when you get stuck between generations. If you get stuck between Sinatra and the Beatles, or if you get stuck between the Beatles and Nirvana, yeah, you might as well not have ever lived.
Let's go back to the phones. Carolyn in Pleasant Hill. Hi, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Hi, I love your program. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks. Go ahead.
I just hate oversimplification. I want to just comment that the generations that gave us Mozart, Shakespeare, they also gave us religious intolerance. They also gave us persecution. You can't be all things at all times. Baby boomers had something more important to do than create great poetry and music and art. We had the Vietnam War. We had a government that lied to us. We had, maybe we were riding the crest of the introduction of civil rights, but we fought for civil rights. We fought for equality. We fought for the women's, you know, the Equal Rights Amendment. There were a lot of social issues there. My biggest complaint with the baby boomers is, where are they now? Where's that passion?
Thanks.
Where's that social engagement? Where's that commitment to stop raping the environment, to cut down our reliance on plastics and other oil-produced, you know, oil-based products, and, you know, get this government to be a government that we can aspire to imitate rather than a government that we deplore.
Thanks for your call, Carolyn. Stephen Gillen, fair enough?
Well, you know, it's interesting. In the course of doing the research for my book, I talked to a lot of boomers, and it's... There is, I think, one of the great myths that a lot of people embrace is that the boomers, this young activist generation, I think, and one of the disappointments a lot of people have about the boomers is that this generation that was so involved and so activist in the 1960s and challenging so many issues, whether it be the Vietnam War or race issues at home, has become so quiescent and so silent in later generations. I think part of that, you know, part of a generation and part of doing a generational history is that you trace the generation as it goes through different phases of the life cycle. And nothing changes your priorities faster than, you know, a mortgage and a dirty diaper. And I think as boomers have moved into their 40s and their 50s, inevitably their priorities have changed and evolved. So I think that this explains part of the reason why the idea that the boomers and these student protesters in the 60s have not had a greater impact, and actually our politics have been very conservative since the 1960s. But the other thing that's important to point out is that during the 1960s, the reason why America is so divided today is because America was divided back in the 1960s, that while portions of the boomer generation protested against the Vietnam War, many others fought in the war and many others favored the war. And these divisions, I think we sometimes, our nostalgia for, and this, I think a lot of boomers, we have this image of our generation as being on the edge of social reform in the 1960s. And while a small portion were, and I think made a lot of great contributions, there are lots of other boomers who were on all different sides of those social issues. And those conflicts were never really resolved. And we're playing them out today, but in a different context and fighting over different issues.
George Bush is a baby boomer. And one of the reasons that George Bush wins election is because there are a lot of baby boomers out there who hate the assumption that every time you open your mouth about the 60s, you're opening your mouth about the left.
Hmm.
There are an awful lot of people who, during the war in Vietnam, there were never polls showing that. I don't think there was ever a poll showing that a majority of the American people were opposed to the war. So there's always been this assumption whenever people talk about baby boomers that you're always talking about people who did drugs, had long hair, and were in the SDS. And that's not true. And there's that, and that's so often the way that we talk about generations. We use these sort of stereotypes, but it's just not true. George Bush is a baby boomer. Many of the people in his administration are baby boomers. I think Colin Powell is a baby boomer, and those guys weren't at Woodstock.
So if we shouldn't confuse the idea baby boomer with the idea of the hippies or the summer of love and these things, then let me nail you guys down. What is the demarcation of the baby boomer generation? Joe Queenan.
Really, really good with money. Like when the woman earlier called up and said, where's all that passion gone? It went to Pottery Barn. I mean, at Williams Sonoma. Baby boomers are totally into lifestyle, creature comforts, raising the quality of life. Baby boomers have always been very interested in having good cars, good equipment, good food, good schools for their kids. They're very, very oriented. They know what money is worth. They know what money can buy. They know how to get money, and they know how to keep money. And that's why they're going to continue to be extremely powerful, because they've got so much money and they're not letting anybody else have it.
Stephen Gillen?
Well, I think Joe's right to some extent. I think that, you know, boomers are not revolutionaries at heart. They're consumers. You know, it's a generation that grew up on variety cereal packs, and I think that's had a sort of a long-term impact. But I do think that beneath it all, there is this underlying impulse, and the impulse is what I spoke about earlier about expanding the range of choices. Now, in some cases, they are consumer choices. But I think there's something more profound to it, too. I think that the boomer generation expanded the range of individual choices and lifestyle choices that people have. And in some cases, they are choices that you identify on the left. But also, you know, boomers have been at the forefront of the rise of fundamentalism, which, although it is has a deep conservative impulse, it also is based on the idea of people being able to make choices about their relationship, their religion, their relationship to God. So in so many ways, whether you're a liberal or you're a conservative, whether you were for or against the Vietnam War back in the 1960s, what defines being a boomer for me is this embrace of, at least an embrace during the 60s and the 70s, of this culture of choice.
At 31 minutes past the hour, you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Okay, guys, you got 10 seconds each. The best and the worst of the baby boomer generation. Go, Joe Queenan.
JFK, the Beatles. That's about it.
That's it. Stephen Gillen.
I think the best of the boomer generation is the women's movement. I think that is the quintessential baby boomer movement, and I think that more than anything else has transformed modern American society.
Stephen Gillen is resident historian and the History Channel, author of Boomer Nation, and Joe Queenan is the author of Balsamic Dreams, a short but self-important history of the baby boomer generation. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up after a short break, top-tier celebrities were once a mainstay of USO shows for American troops serving in war zones, but that's not always the case today. Next, a look at why some celebrities are reluctant to participate. I'm Andrea Seabrook. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. 60.